TalkZone.com!
TalkZone presents the Geek Speak Radio Show with your hosts, Henry and Romo. Your top spot for everything entertainment and pop culture, including TV, movies, comics, casting news, and more. Now, here are your hosts, Henry and Romo.
And here we are on the Geek Speak Radio Show. Hello, I'm back to the Future Day.
I gotta ask you this question. Out of the whole trilogy of Back to the Future, what's your favorite one?
First one.
First one?
Yes.
Alright, what's your favorite scene of the film?
The first one?
Yeah.
Tie between the Johnny B. Good
performance,
which is, you know, a lot of people's favorite.
Yeah.
Johnny B. Good performance. And the last scene as Doc is on the clock tower, and Marty's racing to catch the lightning. Those are my two favorites.
Mine is when he first arrives in 1955, crashes into the barn, and then the Peabody, the guy that owns all the pine trees,
but
Twin Peaks,
was then Twin Pines Mall.
Twin Pines Mall, yeah, which eventually is not because he ended up running over one.
Then when he comes back, that's another thing is, I didn't mention to Bob, but another thing is the great attention to detail.
That's what's great about it, yeah.
And he mentioned all the product placement.
Yeah.
And it gave us a funny story about the DeLorean almost becoming a Mustang?
Yeah. Oh my God, can you believe it? If it was a Mustang, it wouldn't have the cool effect as a DeLorean. The line would be, you turn a Mustang into a time machine, but no. It just sounds better when you say DeLorean.
Yeah.
You know, to quote Marty McFly.
Plus, Robert Zemeckis had a really good idea there and back in comic books, I didn't read him. I wasn't born yet, but I've seen him in pictures and in movies. UFOs and spaceships, alien invaders from back then, their ships did kind of look like DeLoreans.
Yeah.
It was streamlined and the wings opened up like the wing doors that DeLorean has.
Yeah.
So and the suit that Marty was wearing.
That's why it's my favorite scene, you know, when he first crashes into the barn. You know, what's your favorite quote from the film?
Well, I was going to say also another scene.
Yeah.
Is right when right after he leaves the Peabody farm, or actually after he hides the DeLorean in the first one.
Yeah.
And he arrives at the clock tower.
Yeah.
And you hear all the 1950s music and it looks just like the 1950s. Again, not that I was born there or lived in that time, but like what you would expect it to look like and sound like.
Yeah.
That's my other favorite scene. What were you saying?
What's your favorite quote from the film? I mean, there's so many that to choose from. I mean, you built a time machine out of a
great
DeLorean.
Scott.
Yeah, that's my favorite too. Or this is heavy. And then what's so great about that scene is when Doc says, is there something wrong with the
gravitational pull in the future?
Yeah, great lines. You know, this film is classic, cannot be touched or replicated at all. And you even asked, you know, Bob.
But one of the best is in 1985, right before they leave.
Yeah.
When Doc Brown says, when this hits 88, you're going to see some serious stuff. He didn't say stuff, of course, but
mine is
censoring myself.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads. You know, that's just a classic line. And there's so many, man.
That's another really classic line, actually.
And what's that?
From one character. And it actually carried all through the three ones.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
So here, let me play you this. When you hear this, tell me who you think of.
You've got a real attitude problem, McFly. You're a slacker.
What do you think of?
Mr. Strickland.
Yeah, there you go.
Great character.
A lot nicer guy, but Mr. Strickland is on the phone with us. His name, he has a real name, actually. His name is James Tolkien, actor James Tolkien, who played Mr. Strickland in all three of the Back to the Future films. So, James, are you there?
I'm here. How are you?
We're doing great. Having a lot of fun today on Back to the Future Day.
I'm very happy to be on Geek Radio, of all things.
Yeah, we're definitely geeking out about Back to the Future.
Okay, good. I wish I knew the exact definition of that term, geek.
It just basically means loving anything, movie, story, whatever it is.
God bless the geeks.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I asked, we talked to Bob Gale already and Claudia Wells, who played Jennifer Parker in the first one. Excellent. We asked them this question that I'm going to ask you is, can you believe that it's been 25 years already?
I can believe it, but it's hard to believe. It's hard to believe that after 25 years, there is still this interest. And, this much interest in these movies. It's just amazing. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, there's such a connection with these movies with all ages, really, because it is, you know, obviously it has Michael J. Fox, and that goes to the young people, but it also has when he sees his parents, and that appeals to our parents and grandparents.
Yes, of course. Absolutely.
Yeah, can you tell us some stories from the set that you remember?
Well, you know, I remember so many stories. The thing I remember most is, first of all, being hired. And then after 7 weeks of shooting in which there was another actor playing the part that Michael J. Fox played, he was fired. They stopped production on the entire movie, and they waited for Michael J. Fox to finish his Family Ties series. Pulled a move by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale, and in that move, they could have either gone down the toilet or they could have gone on to what they have gone on to become is tremendously successful. So that's one of the things. There's so many stories, of course.
Yeah, we actually talked about that with Bob Gale a few minutes ago. The actor was Eric Stoltz that you're talking about. It's all
Absolutely.
Over the internet now.
He's an excellent actor, incidentally.
Yeah. And I also played an interview with Michael J. Fox before we started all the interviews today. And Michael J. Fox, mentioned that to him, one of the reasons why they think they had to replace Eric Stoltz was because Eric just didn't have that comedic timing that was needed for that role, the Marty McFly role.
Well, you could call it comedic timing. You could call it any number of things. The fact is, he did not have the light, airy quality that Michael J. Fox brought to the movie. And you either have that or you don't. And
right.
I think that's what made the difference in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. What do you remember from Michael's first day on the set?
I really don't remember very much, except here's this little guy came on, and he was so bright and so talented, and he did everything with ease. You know, he hardly even looks at the script, and he remembers everything. He just comes on and does it. I'm amazed, you know, because I'm a New York actor. I'm a theater actor. I'm used to having weeks of rehearsal and previews and openings, but these bright young guys, man, certainly impressed me.
Was there a lot of ad-libbing, or did he stick pretty close to the script?
No ad-libbing. No ad-libbing. When you have a script as good as we had, you don't want any ad-libbing. You just want the precise line, and that's what Michael delivered every time.
Yeah, something I always wanted to ask you, and I just played a clip from it right before we had you on,
yeah.
Is the first scene when we see Principal Strickland and Marty's character literally face to face.
Yes.
How many takes did it take, and who cracked the smile first?
Oh, nobody cracked a smile, and I don't think it took more than two or three takes, really. Yeah.
Okay.
It was set up, and we just do it.
Yeah, I always figured that, you know, that one took a while because, you know, you do get pretty close to him. And
yeah,
no,
two or three takes. I mean, you know, when you make your preparation and you just go and do it, and that's the result. And, of course, the director and the cinematographer are right there to capture the moment.
All right. So, again, we are talking to James Tolkien, actor who played Mr. Strickland in all three movies. I'm going to take a little break right now. When we come back, we'll talk some more with Principal Strickland. Don't go anywhere.
This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report for Back to the Future Day, also known as Wednesday, October 27th. Here's what's buzzing right now. Big Batman 3 news today. First, we can stop calling it Batman 3. Christopher Nolan has revealed the title, and it is The Dark Knight Rises, which suggests that Batman will have a redemption in the film after his fall from grace at the end of The Dark Knight. Nolan also confirmed that the villain will not be the Riddler, but he didn't comment on the rumors of Killer Croc or any other villain, nor that the villain would be played by Tom Hardy, who is on the cast of The Dark Knight Rises. And finally, some great news about the film. It will not be in 3D, but instead be filmed using the IMAX camera. Nolan says that cinematographer Wally Pfister and he will use high-definition approaches and IMAX cameras to strike out on a different cinematic path. So maybe that means the whole film will be shot in IMAX? Here's hoping. And finally, we can say that The Hobbit has been greenlit and is ready to begin pre-production. New Zealand Prime Minister John Key announced in a press conference that The Hobbit will be filming in New Zealand after yesterday's meeting with Warner Brothers execs. John Key said at the press conference that he is delighted that they have achieved this result. Making The Hobbit movies here will not only safeguard work for thousands of New Zealanders, but it will also follow the success of the Lord of the Rings trilogy and once again promoting New Zealand on the world stage. Romo, tell your sister you're coming to visit. I see a set visit in your future. Check your local listings for time and channel and get your first official look at the filming of Transformers: The Dark of the Moon on Entertainment Tonight starting tomorrow. Fox has greenlit a pilot based on Joe Hill's Lock and Key comic book from a script by Josh Friedman and produced by Roberto Orci and Alex Kurtzman. It could be a potential summer series. Media may finally be on its last legs. CBS reduced its order of 22 episodes to 13. CBS said the move is intended to make room for mid-season shows such as Chaos, Criminal Minds, Suspect Behavior, and a new reality show titled Live to Dance. Medium was resurrected by CBS after NBC had canceled it. That's what's buzzing right now, and that's the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back. Make us a favorite button on your browser.
It's sending a transmission of some kind.
TalkZone.com, your first choice for talk on the Internet.
Government can't control everything without controlling...
The Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
My favorite scene.
Yes.
From Back to the Future.
Barry, Chuck. You know, it's your cousin Marvin.
Marvin Barry.
Yeah, the new sound that you're looking for. Yeah, Chuck yeah. Barry. What a classic.
So again, welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show, celebrating Back to the Future Day. Blu-ray trilogy, all of you went and got it yesterday, but yeah. If you haven't, it's still out in stores. Maybe there's two or three left. There were a lot of lines out there. I know because I was there fighting to get my copy. it's all out in stores. Go out and get it, and you'll see everybody that we talked to. Well, you won't see Bob Gale except in the extras, but you will see Claudia Wells play Jennifer Parker, and James Tolkien is on the phone with us right now, who played Mr. Strickland in all three of them. So, James,
yes.
Let's go back.
Now, let me make a slight correction. You know, I played Mr. Strickland in the first and second, but in the third one, I played Strickland's grandfather.
Right.
In the Western. You understand
what I'm
saying?
Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite roles right there, too.
Okay.
But how was this filming on part three? How was the set? I mean, as far as, you know, in your filming.
As far as the set? Well, the set.
Yeah.
It was terrific. We were filming in in the gold strike country there, and of course it rained for 3 weeks straight while they were waiting to get one of the last shot they needed of me, and that was unexpected early weather, and it sort of delayed things for a little bit, but we got it done, and it was all great. Listen, these are a great bunch of people to work with, and we were treated, the actors, and we were all treated wonderfully.
Had you ever done a Western before, or was that your first experience doing that?
No, I've not done a Western. That's the closest I've got to playing a Western.
And yeah, that must have been really fun.
Well, it was fun, and I was brought up on horseback. My old man was in the horse business. My grandfather was in the horse business, so I felt right at home when getting on a horse.
Yeah, and also, we're talking Back to the Future today, of course, but you also had parts in some two other big movies, in War Games and Top Gun. And there are talks of remakes for both. What do you think of that? And has anybody contacted you about reprising your role in Top Gun?
No, and I've heard that, and it doesn't surprise me. But they're not going to get Tom Cruise again. I don't believe, unless they want to get him to play some other character.
Well, today we got a story that they actually want him to be the main character in this sequel. I guess it is.
Oh, fantastic! I hope it happens. You guys know more than anybody. I mean, just listening to you between now and the last time I spoke, I got more information on Hollywood than I ever get in about
good,
2 minutes there.
We're doing our job then.
Yeah,
you're doing your job, really. Well, I hope it happens. It's a big movie.
Yeah, would you want to be a part of it if they asked you?
Well, of course.
Even if it's just a cameo?
Yeah, I would do it. You know, Top Gun was a... was an iconic picture of, again, about 25 years ago, and it's still going strong.
Yeah, I think it's going to be 25 next year, as a matter of fact, because it came out a year after Back to the Future.
Okay, that's about right, yeah.
And we like I said, we mentioned a lot of movies today are being remade or reimagined, as they call it now. Are you glad Back to the Future hasn't been touched, or do you think it should be reimagined?
Oh, I don't have an opinion of that one way or the other. I think it's been done after three episodes of Back to the Future. I think that's it. And, you know, I don't know. Maybe they could do something more, but I hope they don't in a way. The three we've done are just about right.
Yeah, we all agree with you. I think it's the perfect ending, and just leave it alone. Doesn't need anymore.
Absolutely. And War Games, you're talking about War Games. 1973, that's one of the first movies I made. You know, I'm a New York actor. I'm a theater actor. I'm a Broadway actor, off-Broadway, regional theater. I worked for 30 years in the theater before I ever went out to Hollywood to work.
Yeah. Tell us about some of the movies you did before War Games and all the ones we know you for.
Well, I should say, do you remember Love and Death, the Woody Allen picture?
Yeah.
Well, I play Napoleon in that. Again, that was 1973. And that's a funny movie. I've seen it recently, and I think I'm glad I was in that. And then Serpico, again, that was 1973, a Sidney Lumet picture with Al Pacino. Mm-hmm. I had a very small but very tough part in that, a memorable part. And then later on I did Prince of the City, directed by Sidney Lumet. And that, again, that was about police corruption. And that was the favorite movie I've ever done. And it was actually from Prince of the City that Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale thought of me, and nobody else was ever even thought of for the role of Principal Strickland.
Yeah, speaking of Mr. Strickland, your role with, you know, your interaction with Michael J. Fox is just classic. You know, I was just wondering, is there some story that we can get that is not in the DVD itself?
I don't think so. No, you know, we just go there, we do our work, we play the scene, and we're all professionals, and I don't think there's anything I could add to that, actually. You know, it's all afterthought at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like I was saying, you have been in some very iconic films, and like Serpico, you just mentioned, and The War Games, Top Gun.
I recently found out that I was awarded the Rotten Tomato, the Bald-Headed Actors Rotten Tomato Awards for the roles that I played throughout the years, starting with Serpico and all these characters I played, and it was quite an honor for me, really. The Rotten Tomato Award, I get such a kick out of it. Yeah.
So what? You're not active in acting anymore. What do you do today?
Today? Oh, yeah. My God, it's a gorgeous day up here where I live in Lake Placid. You know, I live, I'm on 41 acres. I built my own house here. I'm surrounded by mountains. I'm right on the river. Yesterday, I took out my Lotus for my last drive of the summer before I put it away for the winter. And, I walk my dogs. I bring in the wood. Pretty soon I'll be shoveling snow. I'm in the gym three hours a week. I just, you know, I just live the good life now. I feel very, very lucky, very, very happy and very content.
Just enjoying life.
Yeah, really. After all those years. And, you know, I've survived. I've had good and bad, you know, but I've survived it all. And I just can't believe that I'm here living this good life now.
Yeah. And having played the Mr. Strickland character, I'm sure you're going to live for a long, long time. On film, at least.
Say that again?
What was it? Playing Mr. Strickland, I'm sure you're going to live for a long, long time, at least on film, through the Mr. Strickland character.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, You know, I'm doing these autograph shows, and I cannot believe the people that come up and want my picture and autograph and all that stuff. It's quite something.
Yeah, it's a very beloved character, Mr. Strickland, as well.
And it's not a very big part at all, but somehow it struck a chord with people, and it seems to be memorable. So, you know, all the stuff I've done in the theater, and I've done a lot of good work in the theater, it's amazing. You do a couple of big movies, and that's what you're remembered for, it seems like.
Yeah, especially Slackers. That's the one line that's remembered everywhere.
I always say, Slackers of the world unite. Right.
Yeah, and so again, we're talking to James Tolkien, who played Mr. Strickland and his grandfather in the third one.
Yeah.
So again, James, thanks a lot for coming on and spending a few minutes with us and talking about Back to the Future.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
So there you go, Mr. Strickland.
Were you a slacker?
No.
I am a slacker. So that's why I love this character. Mr. Strickland was one of my favorite characters in the film, and he was a great actor, James is, because I could relate to it. You know, I felt like I was Marty McFly, and so I had a really deep connection with that character. So, you know, Mr. Strickland, that is a classic role that you know, that role right there, that chemistry between Michael J. Fox and Mr. Strickland is superb.
I like the Strickland from the second one.
Really?
Where he shoots back.
That's a good one too.
Eat lead, slacker.
And you know, there's just so many good chemistry on the film between many actors. And that's
I always wanted to know that, and I finally got my answer.
Yeah.
That one scene, the first time we ever see Mr. Strickland, you know, when Marty gets his detention
suit. Yeah, and they're
literally nose to nose.
Yeah.
I always thought that it took a lot of takes because, you know, one of them must have cracked.
Yeah. It's a serious role too. I mean, between Doc Brown and Marty, that friendship, that bond right there is great on film.
But I was actually kind of surprised to learn that it only took about two or three takes.
Wow.
Which again just goes to show how good actors both of them are, Michael J. Fox and James Tolkien.
It's true.
So there you go. Continuing, you having fun?
I'm having a blast.
This is your day. This is your movie.
This is heavy. This is heavy.
So let's keep it going. Hold on, let me check. Yeah, flux capacitor still fluxing, so we can keep it going. Do we need more plutonium?
No.
Or are we okay?
I think we'll just use some food instead for
Mr. Fusion.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Mr. Fusion, Bob Gale. We didn't mention that on the air, but Bob Gale has a Mr. Fusion, the prop.
Yeah.
From the movie, he kept one and he turned it into a lamp.
Oh, that's cool.
So he has a Mr. Fusion lamp, working lamp, in his house.
Nice.
That was a little story I read. I forget where I read it, but there's a story that I read about that somewhere.
Good.
So yeah, again, we are celebrating the release of the Blu-ray trilogy. It's all three of them, not just one, but all three of them. It's out in stores, I think. There were a lot of lines yesterday. We had to fight our way through them. So go on there. Don't hurt anybody. Like yesterday with the zombies, don't hurt anybody. I'm sure they have some in the back, and if not, you can order them.
Yeah.
Or go online. You can get them on there too. So let me see. What should we do now? We've talked to Bob Gale, talked to Claudio, even heard from Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Talk to Mr. Strickland.
I mean, there's someone missing though.
Christopher Lloyd?
Yeah.
Well, he couldn't come.
Oh, man, Doc Brown. That'd have been classic. Yeah. But.
No, we tried to, but you know, obviously, you know, everybody's busy right now.
Yeah.
Everyone's
trying to, yeah.
What was your toy that you had? The one that you pull? The Mr. Stretch or what is it?
Oh, yeah, this Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, they're all like that. All the actors right now, because everybody wants them on their show.
Right, I know.
Michael J. Fox and Christopher Lloyd were on the Scream Awards that we saw last weekend, I think it was.
That was great.
Yeah, they were there. They were on, I think they were on Good Morning America. The whole cast was there. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
So understandable that we couldn't get everybody.
I mean, yesterday they were in New York for the release of the 25th anniversary edition.
Yeah.
Of the trilogy set. So, you know, given that it's a big movie, it's a big, event, you know, 25 years. Wow.
Yeah. And that was kind of surprising actually hearing from James, and I think Bob Gale mentioned it also and Claudia, I think she said also that. Yeah, they are kind of surprised that after 25 years, people love it so much.
I mean, you got to understand though, this is my Star Wars. So for a generation of kids that grew up in the 80s and even the 90s, they could relate because this movie is not like anything out there. It really strikes a chord at, you know, just humans, you know, just, you know, in the time that we existed, you know, from the 50s and through the 80s, it's timeless.
I thought you were going to go back to Cro-Magnon days, the way you were talking there. Me too. I mean, I wasn't as young as you. Actually, you were, what, a year old when it came out?
I was a year old.
Yeah. No, but I was, I think, like I said, 12 or 13 when it came out. And I remember I had a bike at the time. It was one of those little dirt bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And after seeing that movie a few times at a theater that was down the street from my old house, which doesn't exist anymore,
right?
As well as... $4 tickets. Those are long gone. But I had a bicycle, and after I saw the movie, I used to pedal as hard as I could and hope that I would hit 88 and fly. I even used to call it my DB, my DeLorean bike, thinking that it was going to be my time trial machine. Producer Damien, what's the matter?
Oh yeah, I just wanted to get in on this fun here between you and Romo, man. This is really great.
No, ours. We don't share. No, go ahead.
No, I just want to say, man, you know, just listening to the interview was really great. And I just want to say, you know, 1985 was definitely a great year. I was also born. I was born that year.
Yeah.
You know, and back to
Pizza. So how would you feel? I mean, if you were to be in the DeLorean and go back with your parents, I mean, that's what's great about this film. And anyone could relate, you know, going back into time and seeing what your parents were doing at that time when they were young. I mean, that's just. You know, it's great writing right there.
So it was that is so cool just to go back in time to see what your parents were like back then, you know, and it's like, wow.
Hypothetically speaking, you know,
yeah.
It's not really my parents, but, you know, they were my age at the time. You know, they did go to high school.
Right.
So, I mean, what's your favorite film? I mean, as far as out of the whole trilogy, what's your favorite one? One, two, or three?
I would like to say I like the first two.
Yeah.
I like the first two. I like the first one, first off, because of just the fact that, you know, you're going back in time and seeing what your parents were like when they were in high school.
Well, just, I think it's cool about it. It's just going, like you said, back into time and not really just seeing what your parents, but going to the 50s and reliving the 50s is such a classic, you know, era that it's priceless.
Seeing the culture. And seeing what it was like back then, you know, and of course the guitarist, you know, when he's playing guitar, when he was,
he's just riffing.
Like he's just riffing. Yeah. And then he just like really gets into like what's happening.
Well, what's your favorite character though out of the whole film?
Oh, Marty.
Marty?
Yeah.
All right.
Marty McFly. And then, you know, Doc, of course, and,
great. Scott.
of course, I like George McFly, though. George McFly was pretty cool, too.
Because he reminded me of you.
Oh.
Well, you know, I would say
Wait. I say that only because I saw you do it the other day. Maybe you were getting ready for this.
Was I Biff?
You were somebody. Because, well, you're acting like a Biff because you, I forget what you were doing. But I was just over here in the studio watching
like,
you guys, the other one.
Hello,
shaking
hello,
my head. Because, no, you said, hey, Damien, your shoes are untied, and you hit him. Oh, you're so gullible, Damien. Like, oh,
I would say this, though. Out of the whole, one thing I learned from Back to the Future was it was a life lesson from for
was even never for, change the future.
Was he's even for Marty McFly, but, you know, Yella. Are you Yella? Are you a chicken? You know, that like, raised a big question as far as, you know, peer pressure goes, or is just, like, you know, like, you never know what it – you never know what could happen if someone was to, you know, pressure you into having a street race and then, you know, that has to change your future. But, you know, it's something that you're just like, you wake up and it's more of a life lesson.
Yeah, you asked Claudia, where would she go if she had a DeLorean? My question actually would be, not just for Claudia, but for anybody, my question would be, if you had a DeLorean or a time machine, not where would you go, but what one event would you change if you could?
Wow.
Yeah, why do you think about that? Listen to the Buzz Report. When we come back, we'll listen to somebody tell us about a website that's all about Back to the Future. Very appropriate today, so we'll be right back.
This is the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report for Back to the Future Day, also known as Wednesday, October 27th. Here's what's buzzing right now. GK Films is developing a film based off Michael Jackson's Thriller video. The film will be written by Jeremy Gorelick and will focus on the song's folklore, involving Vincent Price and the town he grew up in. Kenny Ortega has signed on to direct the film, but that's not all. Ivan Reitman and Tom Pollock are developing a film about Jackson's younger years. Cirque du Soleil is also in talks to do two live shows based on MJ's music. Robert Rodriguez may not have room on his schedule to direct the Deadpool movie, so Swedish commercial and video director Adam Berg is being discussed as the potential director for the Deadpool movie. He hasn't directed a feature film, but his award-winning commercial got him noticed by 20th Century Fox and Deadpool himself, Ryan Reynolds. Screenwriter Christopher McQuarrie says that the star of Top Gun 2 will be Tom Cruise's Maverick character. I'd have told you last week that the Maverick character would probably appear in a cameo role, and Tom Cruise was all for it as long as it wasn't obvious. No comment from Tom Cruise regarding this latest bit of news. After renewing No Ordinary Family and other shows yesterday, ABC has officially canceled The Whole Truth. All 13 episodes will be shown, however, so the few viewers the legal drama had will get to see a complete season. When V returns next year, Jane Badler, who will be playing Anna's mom, has increased her show commitment to appear in all 10 episodes, and she'll be baring teeth and drawing blood almost immediately. That's what's buzzing right now, and that's the Geek Speak Radio Show Buzz Report.
Geek Speak Radio Show will be right back. A tool for people to connect with the universe and begin to understand it. TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
Attention all bases, attention all bases. This is
the Geek Speak Radio Show on TalkZone.com.
Make a one-man weep,
Is that better?
That's
no perfect. Longer in the enchantment of the sea dance anymore. Welcome back
out.
To the Geek Speak Radio Show. That way you don't have to touch me and dance with me. And
no, we can just play air guitar.
I
and
have
rock
producer
out.
Damien next.
Yeah, we're just rocking out in the studio right
dance
now.
Dance with him. So anyway, welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show. Having too much fun.
Yeah.
On Back to the Future Day, talked to Bob Gale, the writer producer, Claudia Wells, who played Jennifer Parker, and just finished talking to Slackers.
Yes.
Straighten up.
James.
Mr. Strickland. James Tolkien. So now, we all love it.
Yeah,
we all
we
love
do.
The film. Again, it's out in stores. It came out yesterday. There's a few left.
Yeah.
Like I said, it was a long line out there when we went to get it. And we had to wade our way through the crowd of people. So there may be some Blu-rays out there.
Yeah.
Everybody has the old DVD I can't talk now. DVD collection, but now it's on Blu-ray. It's a crystal clear picture.
Yes.
Sounds everything.
Superb, yeah.
And a lot of new extras also.
Yeah.
In there. And Bob mentioned some of them. But we won't give everything away. You guys gotta go out and get it.
Yeah.
If you want to see those. But like I said, we all love the movie. A lot of people like this movie. In fact, this next person on the phone
loves it even more than us.
Loves it so much that he created something called BTTF.com.
BackToTheFuture.com.
Yeah.
Nice.
If you want to know anything about Back to the Future, that is a place to go. So on the phone, we're going to talk right now to Stephen Clark, who's the founder and the creative director of BTTF.com. Stephen, you there?
I'm here.
Hey, Stephen, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate the invitation.
Yeah, having a lot of fun today, so you get to finish it out today.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. So what was it, let me ask you, what was it that about the movie itself that connected with you? Because you saw it in back in 85 when it first came out.
I did. I originally saw the film on July the 5th, 1985, a couple of days after it opened, and saw it with my then girlfriend, who's my wife of almost 24 years now. And, it was one of those things where, I know Bob has talked a lot about audiences in the early screenings. I was one of those who just kind of went into it and had no idea anything about it. I had maybe seen the trailer on television or maybe in theater, but I walked into it just really only knowing that Michael J. Fox was in it, and that my girlfriend at the time really liked Michael J. Fox from Family Ties, and so it wasn't even until the parking lot scene and the DeLorean gullwing door opened that I even knew that Christopher Lloyd was in this film, and I was a huge Taxi fan at the time, and so I was just one of these fans that one of these guys that just kind of went into the film and not knowing anything about it and just fell in love with it from the very beginning. But it wasn't really until a year later when the movie came out on home video. You know, back in those days, we had to wait an entire year for films to come out on home video. And it wasn't until then. Do you guys remember Starlog magazine?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. There was a wonderful article back in 1986 that was kind of written in conjunction with the home video release of Back to the Future by a gentleman who was an Imagineer for Disney. His name was Bruce Gordon, and wrote this wonderful three-page essay on the science of the films and all these intricate details and everything about the name of the article was called The Other Marty McFly. And it was this whole thesis on the fact that there was this alternate timeline and this alternate universe, and that these two Martys had switched universes, and it just talked about all these things, you know, with the name of the mall changing. And I read this thing and I thought, I never saw that in the film. I didn't notice any of that. So, you know, rushed out, rented a copy, and sat there frame by frame in the old VHS days trying to catch all these things, and I was hooked from that point on. And so I've just been, you know, one of these things where year after year it's just gotten stronger and stronger. And I was there first in line for part two when it opened in 1989. And rode the ride in Orlando in early 1992, and so followed the cartoon series. You know, it's just been this ongoing thing for a very long time. So
I was actually in the same boat as you. I went in there when it first came out in the theaters. The guys here, my co-hosts, they were a year old when it came out. But I remember, just like you, I the only thing I knew about it was that, you know, the guy from Family Ties, Michael J. Fox, was in it. The guy from Taxi, I also know Christopher Lloyd because I used to watch Taxi. He was in it also. And anything else, that any little thing I knew, we didn't have any internet back then.
Exactly.
We had, like you mentioned, we had Starlog magazine. That's where I learned everything.
By the time Spoilers came out, you know, the magazine, you know, the movie had already been out for 3 or 4 months. And
yeah,
so we didn't have such a thing as Spoilers back then.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, like I said, there was no internet back then. So obviously back in 85, when did you get the idea for BTTF.com?
Probably somewhere around, late 1996. I registered the domain in January of 1997. I mentioned going to the ride in early 1992. My wife kind of surprised me back in January of 92 with our fifth wedding anniversary surprise trip to go to Orlando. She knew how much I wanted to go on this ride, and so we went down to Orlando, went on the ride, and I came back from there thinking, oh, I have got to have that footage. You know, I've got to add that footage. You know, I can't just go down to Orlando every time I want to see it. I've got to have that footage. So I came back with this intention that I was going to get it somehow. And so I started making all these phone calls to Universal and trying to talk to different people. And, this was back when the cartoon series had really just kind of started up. And Bob Gale still had an office out on the back lot at that time. So at some point, somebody transferred me to his office. And I met Bob in 1992, talked with him on the phone, and we've been good friends ever since. But I got in touch with his office early on and found out that another gentleman was starting up a fan club. And I thought, well, that would be cool. I'd love to get on the ground floor of that. And so kind of hooked up with him sometime the middle of that year, and we started publishing a just this fanzine, this little fan published magazine, which ran for about 20-21 issues through the late 96. And but right around 95 was when the internet was just really starting to boom. And so I had a just a dial-up account at home, and I thought, well, you know, this internet thing is something would just kind of supplement what I'm doing with this magazine, because that was really my biggest focus right then. And I'll just have this page out there. And over about the next year and a half, that really started to turn into something. And so I decided that, well, I need to really get my own domain. And back then, backtothefuture.com was still available. It was something I could have registered back then, but I was just too scared that Universal would someday come looking for that domain and take it away from me. So I thought, well, I need to get something that is a short domain, but something that means something within the trilogy. And so just even my old days of Starlog magazine, I knew that BTTF was an accepted acronym for Back to the Future. So that's what I ended up registering, and have continued to operate it ever since.
What were some of the events put on by BTTF when it first started?
Some of the events?
Yeah.
We actually tried to do a fan event similar to the one that's getting ready to happen here in a couple of weeks. We tried to put one on called Future Fest that just really never got off the ground. We had all these wonderful plans for late 1999 that we were going to do this big fan event in Hollywood at on the back lot, and just could never really get the support of the studio, and it was just never really wrapped around any kind of big home video event or anything, and so it just never really took off. It was just kind of initially just a kind of a supplement to what we were doing in print, and then just kind of knew that we had to branch off. By early 2000, we were starting to do events with some of the celebrities' appearances. I've done a lot of appearances with Tom Wilson, who played Biff. Done a lot of autograph signings and conventions and things like that. We've done a lot of car shows. We do a lot of DeLorean car shows with Bob Gale every 2 years. If you go to DeLoreanCarShow.com, you can see when the next one's coming up. I believe it's in June of 2012, and that'll be in Orlando. But James Tolkien's been there. Claudia Wells has been there. We do a lot of events with those kind of folks. And we've also been involved real heavily with the toy manufacturers, kind of getting in on the ground floor and kind of authenticating early prototypes and doing some copywriting for the packaging and just kind of authenticating different toys and making sure that they're true to the series and that it's, you know, something that, you know, I personally would want to put on my top shelf of my collection. So we just work in every aspect of the series that we can actually be a part of.
We're talking to Stephen Clark, who's the founder and creative director of BTTF.com. I have the links up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. You guys can go on there while we take this break right here and take a look on there. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation and Back to the Future Day right here on GeekSpeak Radio Show.
GeekSpeak Radio Show will be right back. You're listening to TalkZone.com. Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Back to the Geek Speak Radio Show.
One of the most important things in your life.
On TalkZone.com.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Here's Henry and Romo.
Hi, I'm Claudia Wells. I was Jennifer Parker in Back to the Future. Check out BTTF.com.
Welcome back to the Geek Speak Radio Show, back in time, back to the future day. Talking to Stephen Clark, founder and creative director of BTTF.com. I have the links up on GeekSpeakRadioShow.com. You guys can go on there, take a look. Stephen, on the website, you have something where you can rent a DeLorean, I think it is?
We do.
Tell me about that. Yeah, tell me about that.
That's a service that we provide. It kind of serves several purposes. You know, as you can imagine, the phrase Back to the Future is a real popular catchphrase, especially with corporate America. Anytime they're doing any kind of Salesforce meeting or any kind of, you know, corporate event where they're trying to really boost sales or company morale or anything. And so a lot of times they'll want a DeLorean for that. And so they'll hire us out to make an appearance for some, you know, corporate private event. But we also primarily use it to tour the country and raise funds for Parkinson's research. So my business partners are Oliver and Terry Holler. They're the owners of the car, and they have toured just about it. I think they're down to about three states left in America they've not visited yet with a car. So they've been all over the place the last month with a car raising funds for Parkinson's research. And 100% of everything they raise goes straight to the Fox Foundation.
And it's a DeLorean, right? It doesn't look like the ones in the movie.
Oh, it's exactly like the one in the movie.
With the flux capacitor.
Oh, yeah, man. It's fully decked out.
And if you guys want to rent it, again, it's up on GeeksWeGetAShow.com. The links are on there. You can go on there and rent a DeLorean. It's all for a good cause, too.
Absolutely.
What kind of events have you guys been putting on for the to celebrate the anniversary and the Blu-ray release?
There's a lot going on. It's funny after I've been doing this for so long. I kind of feel vindicated for have loving the series for so long, and all of a sudden, you know, the last week has just been overwhelming how much everybody has discovered this film series and fallen in love with it all over again. And there's just been all this media blitz and everything. And, I've been running this thing solo for all these years, and, needless to say, I'm not able to keep up with it as much as I would like and continue to have a full-time job, elsewhere as well. So, we're just promoting everything we can, trying to keep up. We do a pretty good job of keeping our Facebook, going and tweeting everything we can and, trying to get news out there about the new, you know, video game that's coming up, new products. We just got in a lot of, The Marty McFly 2015 caps just re-arrived yesterday, a second shipment of those, and we've been shipping out Blu-rays and DVDs all week, and so it's my week has been pretty busy on the merchandise side, and
yeah, I can imagine
keeping everybody's Christmas stocking full a few months ahead of time.
Yeah, now of all the three films, which one is your favorite?
Well, you know, I've always said that I look at the films as one seamless epic 6-hour film, but you know, I'm probably in the minority here, but part two is probably my favorite. I mean, as much as I love part one, there is so much about part two that has the science fiction and the time travel, and there's just so much into it that really got me involved and just so intertwined with the series that you know, part two doesn't really stand on its own, but I just love that middle part, you know, especially with the stuff in the future and so forth. So it's hard to really separate the three out, but part two is among my favorites, and I think it's probably one of the smartest sequels that's ever been made. And I know I've heard Robert Zemeckis say the very same thing, but I really truly think that it's probably one of the more ingenious sequels that's ever been made. That to be able to travel back into the, you know, the first film and you know, recreate scenes and see everything from a completely different point of view, and I just love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree, Steven. It's Romo right here. I just want to know, who's your favorite character out of the whole film, Back to the Future?
Oh, give me anything from Biff. give me anything from Biff or any of his incarnations. Like I said, I know Tom Wilson really well, and he's nothing like Biff. He's nothing like his characters. Just a sweetheart of a guy. Probably the funniest person you will ever meet in your life. And but yeah, Biff is a personal favorite. Again, you know, it's being so close to the whole series, it's hard to kind of really pick and choose. But I'd have to go with Biff.
What events do you have connected with BTTF.com coming up?
Oh, well, immediately. I just continue. We've got several promotions we're working on. We just actually had a promotion over the weekend and Monday with AMC Theaters. We had a promotion actually with Looney Labs that puts out the new Back to the Future card game, and co-sponsored a trivia contest that was supposed to have been at every theater and given out prizes, and we did that with them. It was a pretty big promotion with us, and just kind of trying to keep our heads above the water right now with all the excitement that's been going on, and just looking forward to continuing to have more products. The new video game comes out reportedly in December, and just either late last week or it's been kind of a blur for me lately, but the Mattel recently announced that they're going to be coming out with action figures in the next year or so. And so, it doesn't look like things are going to be slowing down anytime soon for us. And, we'll continue to be here, promoting, every possible aspect of the series that we possibly can. And, just hope that the fans will continue to reach out to our website, you know, a lot of movie websites kind of get their financial support through selling advertisements. We do all of ours through merchandise sales, so anybody needing any good collectibles can go to our sister website, which is bttf.net. So.
Okay. Yeah, and I do have it up on the geekspeakradioshow.com. The Facebook page, .net, is also on there. So again, it's Stephen Clark, founder and creative director of BTTF.com. Anything you guys need, merchandise, news on Back to the Future, like you said, the game is coming pretty soon. That's the place to go. So Stephen, thanks a lot for coming on and helping us celebrate Back to the Future
Day here.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate the invitation and appreciate the promotion.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you very much.
Hey, bye-bye, Stephen.
Bye-bye.
So there you go. There's your day, sir.
Oh, man. I'm going to go watch. I'm actually going to watch all three. Man, that's great. You know what? I love the fact that, you know, by you, that they have a great charity cause as far as, you know, in relation to the DeLorean and the events that they do to put on money for research for Parkinson's disease. Because my grandfather has it. And, you know, and I was devastated when I heard that Michael J. Fox was diagnosed with it. So for me personally, there's a strong connection with trying to, you know, raise money and do some good stuff for raising.
Yeah. And again, we mentioned a lot of things here, like, Mr. Strickland told us.
Yeah.
So, and he said it, I don't have all the news that I need right here on the show.
Yeah.
If I listen to the show. You do get that. But if you need any more endorsement, to go to bttf.com for any Back to the Future news.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of people to convince you to go there.
Hi, I'm Bob Gale, writer, producer of all the Back to the Future movies. And bttf.com is your official source for all the news and information about what's going on in the world of Back to the Future.
Hi, I'm Christopher Lloyd. And whenever my circuits overload or my brain begins to sputter and act up, I know that I can go to bttf.com and I'm still going to be around.
Yep, definitely going to be around. There you go. There's your Back to the Future Day for today. Have fun?
Yes. I had a lot of fun.
Enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I felt like a kid again.
Learned anything?
I learned a lot of things. I mean, Bob Gale, man, he's a genius of a writer. I mean, you know, part two, I would agree. Part two, the writing and the script, the storyline, and it's genius. I've never seen any movie like that before.
Yeah, like I said earlier, the attention to detail that they have in there.
Yeah, really, really.
Not just the product placements, but all the things that actually do change by Marty going back in time.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so there you go. Again, go out to the stores. It's out there. The Blu-ray trilogy was released yesterday. There should be a few left.
Yes.
I know there was a lot of punching and scratching. Felt like Christmas yesterday. People out there trying to get their copy. Go out there. You might find some. You might not. If you do, if you don't, go online or just order some.
Yeah.
You know, stores do take orders and they can hold it for you. Yeah, we don't have to push anybody. But
The
Blu-ray trilogy is out in stores right now. And, of course, celebrating the 25th anniversary. Technically, it was yesterday because that's when Marty went to 1955.
Yeah.
On the 26th.
Yeah, November 5th, 1955.
No, that's when he got there. He left 1985 on October 26th.
Oh, so you see what I mean? It's like the time, it's like the dates are just confusing. I mean, every time it stumps me, even when you, I mean, let's not even go towards, you know, like the Western part of the film. I mean, the dates there gets more confusing.
Okay. So tomorrow we'll be back and we'll talk more comic books and all the stuff that you guys like. For now, let's hit the road. Or, as Doc Brown said,
there's no roads where we'll be going.
Bye.
Please don't drive me.